To me, the anointing is when God begins to speak and when the yoke is broken off. For where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. All of a sudden, there'll be a liberty. And people will be relaxed. They won't feel hot. They won't feel disturbed. Moses on the mountain for 80 days, it didn't bother him a bit. Not eating at all. See, so when I come up here, I'm disappointed. If I look and I see a big congregation, that's wonderful, because that's what a preacher wants. You know, if you preach to them on television, if you preach to them by radio, whatever you do, that's wonderful. We have books that go out all over the different parts of the nation and the world, and tapes that go out with regularity. And we've got thousands of sermons that's on tape. And all that's good, because that's exciting. But honestly, I'm telling you the truth from my heart. No matter how wonderful my audience is, and your wonderful audience tonight, and no matter how devoted you are to me, or how consecrated you are in concentrating on what I'm trying to say, you know, if I don't feel the connection between my spirit and your spirit, as far as I'm concerned, we didn't have a service. We just didn't have. It doesn't matter if we shout. It doesn't matter if we praise God. It doesn't matter if I tell the Bible stories or read you scripture. It doesn't matter about all that, see? Because we are here to worship God with our spirit. God is a spirit. And the worship of God is when His spirit touches your spirit and your spirit touches His spirit. And I know sometimes when that happens, somebody will scream, you know, they'll scream like a hyena. Or they'll yell and they'll run and they'll jump. All kinds of things. And somebody says that person is really enjoying their religion. And I know sometimes they are. But what it is, a lot of times, is the person that's been living like the devil, and the Spirit of God has began to move and it's touched them, and they're so glad to think that they would get a touch from heaven after they've lived like a devil till they can't contain themselves. They just about go crazy. You know, and then sometimes it is where the Spirit of God is moving to cast out a devil, in that the Bible said that the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. And like that little boy that had the demon of epilepsy, that little boy came to Jesus, you know, and when the Spirit of God made contact with that thing, those two powers locked in like that, and this power that was about to be defeated, it took the little boy and it threw him down, and it looked like that he was dead when that thing lifted off of him. They even thought he was dead, you know, when that thing lifted, because it was said that sometimes it throws him into the fire, sometimes it casts him into the water, and it tries to destroy him. Because a spirit, if a spirit hath you, or if it communicates with you, it may, you know, make you leave home. Leave your husband, leave your wife, leave your children. It may make you leave church and go visit with your relatives, or go fishing or go hunting when you ought to be praying or fasting. It may make you go to the ball games or to the races, or go downtown shopping and looking for something for the flesh. You know, Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. Or it may make you watch a television show when you know that you ought to be praying, or that thing is non-virtuous and of the devil. Are many hundreds and thousands of things that thing can do. Or it can afflict you. Spirits can afflict you. As in the days of Job, when Satan said, if you'll just move the hedge and let me touch him, I'll make him curse you to your face. And the Lord moved the hedge, and the devil went down and smote Job till his body was full of boils. See, he does all kind of things. So, when you make contact with God, that's deliverance. You'll be sitting out there, and then the anointing will begin to move, and that I'll begin to preach the word, and yet it's not me speaking but the Heavenly Father. And all of a sudden, your spirit will make contact, and faith will arise. As I stir your natural minds up, then all of a sudden, faith will begin to rise, and this faith will make contact with the word, and this word turns into spirit and it goes down into your heart. Let me talk to you just a minute and then we'll read a scripture. Now, this is something that you need to consider. You know, you got human senses like a tree hath roots. And the Bible refers to the trees of God as being filled with sap or life. So you got human senses. You got taste and smell, You got sight, you got hearing, you got feeling, all of these human senses. Now, these human senses make your natural body, that's called the creature, subject to vanity, because the world, all of the world is vanity, 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 and vexation of spirit. To you it's not. You know, to you it's ice cream and cake and frolic and passions and everything else. But in reality, it is a passing vanity. And it is a vexation of the spirit. And to them that come to the spirit and to the knowledge of God, then when Christ comes on the inside, Christ is literally vexed by you even taking up any time with the world. He said, come out of the world. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. And see, as long as you don't have Christ, you can just enjoy the world and eat like a pig and like a dog. For the Bible said, these are swine that wallow in the mire and lap their own vomit as dogs. See, and you, the dog doesn't know any better. To him, the vomit, it tastes good. And the pig doesn't know any better. As far as he's concerned, the sun is hot and he needs to wallow in the mire. You know, when the heat of lust comes down upon you and them old passions begin to move and you know you want to turn to the world, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and all these things, you want to wallow in the mire. It cools you off. Now, burned in their lust one toward another. The Bible said so bad in the last days as to these gays. Men with men and women with women, working that which is unseemingly, receiving within themselves a recompense of the reward as to the error of their ways. In that they did not love the truth, the Bible said God turned them over to a reprobate mind to cause them to believe a lie, to send strong delusions, to cause them to believe a lie and to be damned. We are a people that's called together to be spiritual and to have the Spirit of God. And to worship the Spirit of God. And that's why I'm talking to you tonight, where I can get your attention, get your spirit, find your spirit, and then lock in on your spirit. If I can't find your spirit, no need to try to preach to you. And yet I know I'm preaching to you all the time. Jesus pushed out in the little boat. He sat down. This is the way he talked to them when he was searching for their spirit. Because God is a spirit. He wants to feed your spirit. See, so if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you don't have any discernment. So then it is a lustful thing. Vanity of vanities, but you just love it. But when you get the Spirit of God, it vexes you. As it was said concerning Lot, that righteous man, the Bible said, and his righteous soul was vexed from day to day, you know, while he was down in Sodom. But you're looking through these little windows. See, and what you're looking for, you're looking for a pretty face, a handsome face. You're looking for a pretty form out of a woman or a man. You know, it took time for the body. And you're looking for money. And you're looking for pride. And you're looking for vanity. And you're looking for prestige. And you're looking for somebody that can sing like a canary. You know, devils and demons, they love to hear singing. And they love to hear music. And they love to eat and drink. And if you'll take your religion, and if you'll make your religion a little social party and turn it into the frolics of the world, why, you'll just have the biggest kind of time with the devil, because he'll stay right there with you. And this is what's wrong with the world today. I've said so many times that the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. Or that is to say that the youth of today has been overpowered by demons and they're like dogs and pigs. They don't marry anymore. They just do whatever they want to. And you know, this is the sad thing, that married people of today, you would be literally shocked at the way they conduct themselves in the time of human relation when they're out of sight of one another. And how much is involved in sodomy as to being gays in married families. Hundreds and thousands of families that is never known. Nobody makes it known, you know. And they go right on in their religious attire. But as I said, when they allow in the legislation for this to vote in their rights, whereas I told you the other night, the gays are pulling for that right. I explained to you what rights they're asking for. And when they legislate it, that's the end of the world. And they will legislate. They will do it. I said the world will turn into a bunch of sodomites and gays. And then the old serpent has too. The devil has climbed up into the upper lintel. He's up there in your government. He's in the law. He's everywhere. He's took over the courtrooms and he has boycotted against you. And he is against the church, the Jim Jones, you and everything else. See, and the world is in a terrible condition. The days of the Gentiles have done come to an end. It's closing out now. And this is the last message, and this is the last thing going. And I said all the lights would go out. Brother Roberts, Brother Branham, Brother Jack Coe, Brother Jim Swaggart, Brother the other Jim that was on PTL, and on and on. I said all of them would go out, every one of them. And it's done it. And I said it won't be but one thing left. I said that a number of years ago. It went out, didn't it? Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, it happened anyway, didn't it? It happened anyway. Now do you believe it? It happened anyway. Somebody said, well, what's that got to do with it? It just means that was the spirit of truth. Because it happened. And we spoke of that falling concerning Armstrong. We spoke of that concerning the Pope. How that it would come in and that thing would turn into communism. And up they come with a Polish or a communistic Pope. And we said it would turn to communism. And immediately they published the article in the paper. Said that the Pope had turned to the Russian communists. And explained why that he did that. And on the many multiplied things that we spoke of that would happen, like God would bring in George Bush, that he was God's man, and God would bring him in what it was for. And of course, calendar-wise, we explained how that his administration would go right on into the tribulation period, which it does. See, and numbers of things that we could say, which mean that this thing is at an end. See, it is at an end. And that means that if it is at an end, all these things about the gays and all these other things, then that means that you and I need to be spiritual. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, and you should pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And some of you have been in religion now probably for 20 years, 15 years, and you still are not spiritual. You know, I can understand. Now, like tonight, we've got some young fellows here and some young girls here. And really, most of the young girls and boys, they pay attention. I have some silly little old girl sometime come in here, or silly little old boy, and they've got their minds on lust and on passions. And they don't pay any attention. They're critical in their mind because they're bound with some kind of demon. You know, but most of the youth that come in, even though they have dope problems and all kind of problems, when God begins to move, they zero in on this thing and they begin to think over this thing. You know, as it was when the elders died in the wilderness and God raised up the youth and took them on to the Canaan land. And I told you a lot of times, you know, with people, as religious people, all down through the Pentecostal ages that I've come down through. You know, they'd preach about how the people come out of Egypt and how they crossed the Red Sea and how they got in the wilderness and God tried them for 40 years and after that they went into Canaan. And I really thought that. And I said, well, glory to God. God brought them out. God brought them through and God took them in. And one day God spoke to me and he said, do you remember when Moses stood before me? And I said, Moses, get out of the way and I'll destroy this people. All they ever do is murmur and complain. And they are a hard-hearted people. And that they're not going to honor me. And just get out of the way and I'll destroy them and make a great nation of you. I thought, I sure remember that. And I know that Moses was the type of the Lord Jesus. As he was there and said, nay, Lord, blot my name out of the book of life. And the Lord said, no, I'll blot his name out that does evil. And I shall in no wise acquit the wicked. I said, well, I remember that. But I remember how gracious you was to him. And God was gracious to him. And I said, you was gracious and just took them right on to Canaan. And the Lord spoke to me and said, didn't any of them to go into Canaan? Said, not even Moses. Said, I raised up Joshua. The only one is to Caleb and Joshua. And said, they were the only ones. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. And it was so. And I've said this to you and I'm just talking to you. You know, so that we can maybe through this camp meeting make contact and have a meeting. And I said, my God. But then the Lord reminded me of a little thing I've said to you before. Said, do you remember the days of Noah when God repented that he had even made man because he saw the whole earth was overspread with evil and violence filled the whole earth? And that God repented, it grieved him at his heart, and he repented that he ever made a man and a woman. I said, I remember that. And how that God destroyed the whole lot of them. And would have destroyed down to the last one and found one man, Noah. That was all. Typical of Jesus. Saying as to you and I in this day, and this is as the waters of Noah to me. In the days of Noah, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. As it is today, all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and everyone has turned to his own way and looked to his own quarter for his own gain, and God has laid upon him, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity for of us all. Having been bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. Therefore we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's by faith in what he hath done. And God took Noah, and Noah's family got in because of Noah. And 8 people were saved. And he said, what about Sodom and Gomorrah? Being a type of the church, the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said, and the fire and brimstone was rained down from heaven. And some of you have been there with me at the place where this was burned. The ashes are there. And the sea has overrun the greater part of it. But along the shores and the banks, it's still there, Sodom and Gomorrah. I thought I remembered that. The Bible said that righteous man's soul was vexed from day to day by the ungodly deeds of those people. And you remember the visitation of the angels. But anyway, he said, you remember how many were saved? I thought, yeah. Yeah, there's 4 of them that came out of there. And I began to think, I said, you know, that's just half as many as it was when there was 8. And then he said, do you remember the deliverance after that they had come out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness? Said, do you remember how many were saved when they went into Canaan? And I stopped and to think, and I was shocked. And I thought, God, you didn't let them go in. They murmured and complained until Moses said, if I be a man of God, let the earth open up and swallow them up and let them go down to the pit quickly. I said, you didn't take any of them in there except Caleb and Joshua. I heard the Lord say, 2. I said, my God, that's just half. Again, that's what it was the Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I let the earth open up and swallow them up because I said, with this generation, I was not pleased. For all they ever did was grumble and mumble against Moses and find fault. And I was grieved for 40 years with this people. And I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. And he said, I warned the people through Paul to take heed, because this happened for your admonition or admonishing. Those as to whom the ends of the world have come upon. Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, as to Calvary. He said, I raised up the children and took them into Canaan. So that was the ones that went into Canaan. I raised up their children. I thought, my God, this Pentecostal world is in for it. The Baptists and the Methodists and all of them with their ball games and with their parties and with all of these things and trying to mix darkness with light. And they've got it in their mind that they're great evangelists and having all these healing meetings, all these kind of things. That's why I predicted that they would fall and the light would go out and gross darkness would cover the people in the end time. He told me. It's come to pass exactly. And he said to me, he said, now, there was 8. And then there was 4. He said, then there was 2. Each time, it was 7. He said, and then there came Calvary to the end of the world. There was another time. And do you remember the deliverance when Jesus gave his blood that the people might be delivered? I thought I sure do. He said, and you remember, I said, there's none good, no, not one. All of them have gone astray. He said, again, it was cut in half, and this time there was only 1 found. And that was the Lord Jesus. God himself personifying himself in a human body. And as today, folks, there's nobody saved but Jesus. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that, but I tell you in the name of the Lord, the Pentecostals aren't going to be saved. The Baptists aren't going to be saved. The Methodists aren't going to be saved. The Catholics aren't going to be saved. The Bethlehemites aren't going to be saved. Ain't nobody going to be saved throughout the entire world. Isn't that bad? And all the way back, not even Abraham, the father of the faithful, not even Elijah, not even Paul, not even them in the future, wasn't any of them found worthy. And the Bible said when John was there, he looked, and when the Lamb came to take the book, it was said, that the book was there, and it says, and who can loose the seals thereof? And the Bible says, as to the past, as to the present, as to the future, it said, and no man in heaven or in earth or under the earth that's passed on, that's here or is to come, was found worthy to loose that book. And he alone, the Lamb, came and loosed the seals of that book. So prophet, priest, or redeemer, apostle, whatever it was, there was only one. And God said, there is only one that will be saved. Just one. He said, that's my son. And the Bible said, and Jesus himself alone was made heir unto the glory of God and nobody else. And he said, son, if you get into the kingdom, the law and the prophets, to the kingdom since that, or to Calvary since that time, the kingdom has been preached, men are pressing their way into it. And he said, if you get into the kingdom, you'll get into it one way, and that is you must be the Son of God. And if you're not the Son of God, he said, you don't go in. I said, oh my God. And the Lord said to me, I heard Paul speaking of the Spirit, said, and ye are not your own. You're bought with a price, and ye are flesh of his flesh, and you're a bone of his bone. As a woman, as the mystery of the church and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, as she is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and no longer twain but one. He said, you are one body, as members in particular of the God body, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to say, God the Spirit, the Word that was made flesh. And if you are his bone as to whatever measure, he said, then ye are his body. And if ye are his body, he alone dwells in that light, is that great revelational understanding under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen or can see. And I said, my God, Lord, it's no wonder I've got to have his Spirit. The Bible said if you have none of his Spirit, you're none of his. And if my wife don't have my Spirit, she's none of mine. So I thought, I've got to have his Spirit, because the life of my body is my Spirit. And the only life that this body could have as to God life would be God's Spirit. And I thought, that will make me one with my Heavenly Father. As Paul said, it's not me living, but God liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. So, that's where we're at today. So then all of our religion goes down the drain. All of our believing goes down the drain. All of our religious fellowship goes down the drain. All of our ritualistics as to religious practices goes down the drain, whether it's counting beads or whatever. So then we can't say, I belong to the church of God. I belong to the church of Christ. I belong to the Lord, church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I belong to the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Jehovah Witness, the Church of Science. I can't say that, the Methodist or whatever. What difference does it make? Saying that means the more than if you said, I belong to the Lions Club. Belonging to some other social benefit, or I belong to the party of the legislators, doesn't mean a thing. See, but folks, when you get his Spirit, you have eternal life. It means that you are eternal, that you do have eternal life, that you are eternally alive, and that you have passed from death unto life, and that ye shall never come into condemnation, and that no one can lay anything to your charge, that you are God's elect, that before the world ever was, by foreknowledge he elected you unto grace and wrote your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you're not waiting to get over here somewhere at the end of the trail, you know, to count and to see if you got more goods than you have bads, to be weighed in the balances and see if it's more on this side than that side, that you already had it in Christ before the world ever was, and that it was given to you in God before the world ever started, as Jesus said, and that you are God's elect according to his foreknowledge as to what he foreknew of you, and that he has predetermined your destination or predestinated you under good works by what he did in Jesus Christ. Your works meaning nothing. It's what he done in the works of the body as in your behalf to make Jesus sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Having delivered you from the bastard image of this body, as I say, to bring you into the image of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, to see you no more as that perverted image of being born in Adam as an Adam, all die, but seeing you in Christ as the second man Adam, as a quickening spirit. No longer as in that body of sin, as to a soul that can sin and die, but having passed from death unto life as a quickening spirit, where inwardly you keep yourself and the evil one toucheth you not. Having perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctify them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus, in that they are his body, and having justified and having glorified you already. And I say again, as a confirmation of that, of Jacob and Esau, the children not yet having been born into this world. As the prophet said, before I came forth from my mother's womb, God ordained that I should be a prophet. Esau and Jacob's story says, and before the child or the children ever were born, ever came into the world, God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, and said, the children having done no good nor evil, that it might stand by election of him that calleth and not of him that worketh. For the Bible said, the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. It belongs to the Lord. So then by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. Whereas Jesus Christ being made heir along to the glory of God, then that means if you have his life of glory, you have to have Christ on the inside of you, for he is that hope of that glory. All right, let me read just a word or two here, say a few more things to you. And then we'll close. Listen to this now. Chapter 5. In the 19th chapter of the book of St. John. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He, speaking of John, was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. But I receive not honor from men. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believed not his writings, how shall you believe my works? So we see Jesus just as a man, preaching the gospel, just as Brother Pike, telling the wonderful story of Calvary that is to come, and the wonderful story of Moses that was in the presence of God on the mountain when it burned like fire. The prophet like unto, as to Jesus coming. Here he was doing these wonderful things in their midst, and yet he was but a man. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know him, and he said, you've missed the day of your visitation. He said, for if you had recognized the day of your visitation, he said, you would have been all right, but now your houses are left under you desolate until the day that you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so it is that they have been in problems as the Jews continually, never having received consolation, going through the Holocaust and all of these things. It's been so torturous and tormenting in death. And now, right at this very moment, they're waiting for the whole world to boycott against them and come down upon them as to encompass Jerusalem and to ravish the women. And the Bible said to bring pain and misery and tribulation such as the world has never known as to their suffering because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, all of a sudden, here comes the end of the Gentile age. The Gentiles has at last come to their end. And they have done the very same thing. They have rejected God. Folks, this don't sound good. You know, when the preacher preaches like this, it don't sound good. Because what we would like to hear, the Bible said, is to something that would tickle our ears. And they would heap to themselves teachers, having itch ears. They want teachers that would say, God loves you and God is good. And God is for you. Go to the ball games and enjoy yourself. Go to the races and enjoy yourself. Sit before the televisions and drink down these non-virtuous things. Live and be happy. Get you a good job. Be some kind of dignitary. Be important in the community. Have a nice home and automobiles and all these things. And eat, drink, and be merry. For God is good. And God, he loves you. And certainly God is good. And God has given you all good things. And the Bible teaches all these lovely things emanated from God. And God gave you the stars. And God gave you the trees. And God gave you the ocean. And God gave you these wonderful waters in the time. You know, when everything is so hot, God has given you the sunshine. God has given you the harvest. God has given you the trees and the little birds and the moon and stars. All these kind of things God has given it to you. And the Bible said when God walked in the body of the Lord Jesus, he went about doing good, always doing good and healing those that was oppressed of the devil. The Bible said Jesus did that because God was in him and God was with him. And the Bible said to wit that that was God in the flesh, reconciling the world back to himself, the spirit, trying to reach your spirit and convert you over from this old body of death, this old carnal mind that's limited with God and the love of the world and the love of the flesh, trying to convert you over from that back to the originality as to God and to God's way as to the Spirit, in that the Spirit had control over the flesh until it lost it to Satan and flesh took control over the Spirit. And God has since then been trying to convert you back to where your body will be subject to the Spirit and you will be spiritually minded and you will be heavenly minded, that he might change your environment into the beautiful garden of life again, to eradicate the briars as to those thorns that's out in the field. And to eradicate not only in the natural as to the thorns, but in the physical, the thorns from your flesh, which is sickness as to pain and cancer, heart problems and all these things, and not only in the natural and in the physical, but in the spiritual, to eradicate the thorns from your life and the harassment of the devil and the oppression of the devil and the demon spirits that drive you and talk to you and bring these ugly, degraded things to you that steals your soul. See, and God has been trying to do this, for when this happened in the spirit, it had to happen in the body. When it happened in the body, it had to happen in the natural. And today, God is trying to correct it, saying, I would that you be spiritual, as the overseer to the Gentile church said, Paul. He said, and I would that you would be spiritual. For I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, not unto people going to ball games, parties, pool rooms, dope, frolics, passions. I'd love to speak unto you as unto spiritual people, clean, holy, God people. Because we become clean and holy and godly as we listen to the word, as we follow God, as we get our angelic being over in the hands of God, and we bring forth the wonderful blessings of God into our spirit and into our heart. Young folks, let me tell you something. This is your day. I know that you've been rotten to the core. You young people, you stink in the sight of God. Somebody says, don't talk about our youth like that. I tell you what, God's got a title for you. And he said, you are an adulterous, sinful generation. You're so full of passions. You're so full of rottenness until you ain't fit to be on the face of the earth. But I got some glad tidings of great joy. The Bible said concerning these religious people that that's the only thing that's worse than you are. Let's give the Lord a hand. And he said the drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you do, because they know that they are rotten and they've done about everything that can be done. And the Bible said they'll repent of their sins and they'll realize that they need a Savior and they'll trust in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will raise them up and take them into Canaan while the elders die in the wilderness. Because the problem of the children is that the elders have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edge. That's where the problem came from to start with. The elders keep looking back into Egypt and the garlic and the onions, wanting to be religious, but all they want to bring the ball games and they want to bring the frolics and they want the bunny and they want all of these other things in with it. The Bible said, get ye out of the land of thy kindred. That is, you people, get out of the flesh. Get out of the flesh. Come into the spiritual world. Get away from your natural relatives and come into the spiritual world. And if their natural relatives want to follow you, let them follow you. Like when Jesus' natural mother came, natural family came, and they said, we would speak unto our son, and we would speak unto our brother, his sisters, his brothers. We would speak unto our brother. And they said, your family is without Jesus, and they want to talk with you. He said, my family? He said, who is my family? He said, these that do the will of my Father which is in heaven, this is my family. That is, I can say, as Brother Pike, I've got brothers and sisters, mother and daddy. I say, sure, and I'm with them how long? Maybe 10 years, 30 years, 70 years, whatever a lifespan might be as to the one or the other. But on the other hand, I've got brothers and sisters, mothers in Israel, fathers in Israel. Paul said, I've begotten you as a father. I've got these that's going to be my relatives throughout eternity. How can I make a comparison of billions of years as we would clock it, and then billions of more, and then without end? How can I make a comparison with my family that I'm with there as to this little thing called relatives for 20 or 30 years? Let's give the Lord a hand, folks. I'm headed for heaven. I've got a heavenly family. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. A lot of times people say, well, that's my flesh and blood. Well, that's your flesh and blood. But I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh, and his royal blood flows in my veins. So I belong to the God family. I'm not looking back into Egypt. I don't care about the garlic and the onions. I'm looking for the victors in Christ. So then, this is where we're at today. Are we going into Canaan? Do you realize, as a natural person, that God naturally gave you a natural story? Just talking to you as babes now. That he gave you a natural biblical story of a people that's called the Jews and as of a leader that's called Moses, and that he put a natural river there that I baptized in the Jordan, and the natural sea is to the Red Sea there, that Egypt might represent the world because civilization comes from Egypt, the hieroglyphics and whatever it might be, and you're a derivative from that. You're nothing but Egyptians as to the spirit. See, and so then, did you know that God put an Egypt to show the world, and that God put a wilderness to show the change that's from your body as to the world and the love of the world over to the great spiritual Canaan land, which is going into the mind of Christ and the Spirit? Did you know that he put Canaan land, he put Egypt and this wilderness in between to show that you're going from the flesh through this old intellectual wandering as your own concept, and that Satan is a devil and a fallen angel, and he's interwoven with your body and with your mind, and that your life has got to pass from this body like a baby getting off of the bottle, going to the meat. It's got to pass through that place there of Lucifer that's called the wilderness. All that is, as the astronauts of this world went from here to there, that shepherd had to make a door up there. As we said, there's a door in heaven. And that your spirit, which is your life, has got to pass out of this corruptible body, which is the image of the bastard child. And it's got to go into the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh to become the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might live, or that life is completely lost. If that baby doesn't change over from milk to meat, he isn't going to live. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a change. And God is speaking unto you like babies, as to say, this is for your admonition. There's a Moses, like unto Jesus. And there is an Egypt, and there is the wilderness, and there is a Canaan land, and there is a Red Sea. That's typical of Calvary. And here is a Jordan that's typical of your old natural carnal mind. To eat thereof the day that you do it, Eve, ye shall surely die. All of those things are but type as to a spiritual journey, a spiritual transition, a spiritual change. That's going from earth into heaven. It's the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. And Paul said, and such a one was caught up into the third heaven, saw things that was not permissible for him to speak, as one born out of season. Now, knowing this, that God has given you this symbolic thing, how can the ministers of the day, and especially the Pentecostal ministers, stand behind the sacred desk and invite you into ball games and into movies and into bathing suits to frolic and into the things of the world and talk about Jesus? Don't you know that's the spirit of the devil? Somebody says, Brother Pike, are you saying that about the preachers? Bless your heart, I'm saying that about the preachers. I said, that's the spirit of the devil. The Bible said, marvel not that there is the spirit of the devil in them people. Said, for those ministers have transformed their minds into ministers of light, which means being therefore transformed by the renewing of their minds. Paul said, as to preach the word of light. And marvel not, because Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. And we've spoken of that, of how he did that and what shows that. These men that do that are of the devil. I don't care whether they're in the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the non-denominational, the Catholic, or at Bethlehem. It doesn't make any difference. They're of the devil. They're of the devil. And the Bible says that if they had been my ministers, and if they had stood in my presence, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. But they didn't cause the people to turn from their sin. For the Bible said all unrighteousness is sin. And they didn't cause them to turn from their sins. They didn't cause them to turn from their sins. So then they didn't stand in the presence of God. Let's give the Lord another hand. I said, the Bible said if they had stood in his presence, that they'd had a congregation with a clean heart. I said the other night, and somebody would say, then you're one of those guys, Brother Pike, that believes in brainwashing. And I said, Monday night, I'm not one of those. I'm one of those that believes in heart washing. And when you get your heart clean, you won't have a dirty heart. Now, if washing the brain would do any good, I'd specialize as a brain washer. But see, your brain is in your head, but your mind is not in your brain. You're only connected to that brain by human senses. Your mind is in your heart, which is your spirit and life. See, and you're connected with the world as to this world of vanity by your human senses. And the devil, which is in this world, comes into your human senses to get into your life. And that's where the warfare comes from. See, it's like a tree. It's got a tap root that goes down into the earth, and it's got many other roots that goes out. And these roots that goes around strengthens that tree in the time of storm. And the tap root goes down to get the water out of the well. When everything is dry, it goes down to the water tables. And these other roots around pick up all kind of minerals, and they bring them into this water. As the root picks up the water, as it comes up, the other little tributaries contribute to the life of that tree, to build the body of that tree. And that's what you do. All these things with your natural senses, you pick up to build cells of your body, to build your brain, to build your eyes and ears and bone structure. But folks, that taproot, which is your spirit that goes down into the water table, brings you the life of Almighty God. That's where your life is. And it's pure. And your impurities come from the little roots, as we say, around the tree as to your human senses. Because it picks up good things as to element, but it also picks up poisons as to elements that are destructive, in that the fallouts and all of these other things that we could say much about tonight, they go into this and mix with that. And the body of that tree has to cast them off, just like your body through the purification as to the antis and as to that which goes out the urine. We say as to your uremic poison or ptomaine poison going out the lymph stream. God has so made us that way. And the Bible teaches that we are wonderfully made, and scientists can't do nothing about our bodily functions. They're going crazy trying to figure it out. Diseases. He said that if you reject God, all of these diseases will come upon you that's enumerated in this book, and all that's not enumerated, such as AIDS and whatever, will come upon you. Somebody said, but our blessed science, Brother Pike, falsely so-called, Paul said in that science means knowledge, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, theorizing. But we say our blessed science is solving the problem. Our medicines, whereas the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines, they'll gnaw their tongues for pain, and you'll find out that healing comes from God. And when God's grace is gone and the blood lifts off the seat of atonement, there won't be any healing. That God has done that because you're as babes right now and don't know any better. And as quick as you come to the knowledge of right and wrong to be required of you, and God will take it away. And the blood will be off the seat of atonement, and you'll have it to pay for. See? God is going to pour out his wrath upon you. And you're going to gnaw your tongues for pain. And all of the kingdom of the beast, which means the human body, shall be filled with darkness, which means ignorance. Ignorance. So then we see that these feelers, they pick up all of these things. And certain thoughts, as we say, come into the brain. And we feel those things throughout our body, our nerve system. See, and they're ugly, and they're evil, and they're degraded, and they are abased. And then out of the pure waters, as that tap root, whereas the Bible said if God had not left us a root, we'd be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah, as to the root and offspring of David. Out of that root comes forth that life. And the continual warfare as to God within the spirit, warring against those human senses that reach out there in their feelings to pick up that which is in the world, and that Satan is in the world. And the Bible said, greater is he, speaking of those that are born again, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And as long as you don't know anything about God, it isn't required of you. And your feelers can pick up even wrong. And God, the Bible said, once winked at that ignorance. Now light has come, and it is commanded of all men that they should repent. See, because now we're at the place to where you have to do right or you have to pay for it. Having come to the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for Pentecostals or you or anybody else. And when you turn to ball games and all these things, you're doomed and damned. Because to bring you to salvation means God has to go back and slay the lamb again. And I tell you again, God knows all of this. You're his elect by foreknowledge. For Paul spoke of his women workers and his brethren in Christ, he said, whose names are not going to be if they live good, but whose names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, somebody said it's hot, Brother Pike. It's warm. When you going to get through? You always get through when you're finished. Let's give the Lord a hand. So that way you know when I'm going to get through. All right. It's hot. It's really not
hot, folks.
It's warm. Hell is hot. It's just warm. So you're in good shape tonight. Let's give the Lord another hand. Now, if you don't believe you're in good shape, look down there in that pit and see those people that are in hell that's screaming that'll never get out. Never be able to start over. Where there's no days and nights. Where there's no beginning and no end. It's from now on. And you'll know how to appreciate God. You know, I say this so often. I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Just exhorting you a little bit tonight. Trying to find your spirit. To let you know what the conditions are. You know, I say this so often. You people are in heaven. Oh, you know people that go away and say, boy, that cult. That cult, that preacher is preaching that them folks are in heaven. Can you fathom such an ignorant thing? And they rave on, and the heathens rave on. The Bible said, why did the heathen rage and imagine vain things? Why were they gathered together? Wasn't it against the Christ? Was it against Peter, or was it against the Christ? Why did they imagine those vain things? The Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Cast down imagination. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And so you're in heaven. And I say so often, if you don't believe that you're in heaven, wait till you get into hell. And then you'll know that you've been in heaven. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. And you can run to the doctors and you can get a shot when you got pain. Run to the dentist when you can eat and drink and be merry and buy and sell and have a good time. Then you're in heaven. But just wait. It'll be over before long. The blood will be off the seat of atonement. And you'll find out what Revelation 12 meant when it saw the woman in heaven and it saw the devil in heaven too. I looked and in heaven I saw that dragon. I looked and in heaven, John said, I saw that woman in great travail. We're not going to get on that, but I just want to finish my little thought here. So then, people, it makes us know one thing, that to plant a seed in the ground is not sufficient for a crop. Because it may rot, the seed may be bad, or it may rot under the clod, and it may never bring forth the harvest. But it is a true fact that if you take away the weeds, if you pulverize the soil, if there is a little rain and a little sunshine, that the heat will pull and that the rain will come and soften the soil to where it can break through, and that the heat on the inside will cause that little bean to break open and the life will push its way up through that tender soil as the heat pulls on it, pulling the vapors out of the earth, and it'll come forth. There'll be a blade and then there'll come forth the harvest. See, if you'll work that, like Khrushchev said one time, he said, I used to be a Bible scholar. He said, but there's nothing but weeds in my garden now. And so then coming out of the heart of man, that life of Jesus Christ will be made manifest in your mortal genes. And you'll live an overcoming life and they'll see Christ in your life. And your light will so shine around the world that men may see your good works and they'll glorify our Father in heaven. We, hating the garments that spotted with the flesh, pulling them out of the fire. See, that is to say that if you'll work that little seed, after a while it will burst open and the root will go down, down, down. It won't just be an infatuation as from your human senses, but it'll be the Word of God mixed with faith and watered by the Spirit of the Lord. It'll go down into the earth, way down into the water tables to get into the heart. The root will get down here. Then it begins to draw life. Draw life. Once it begins to draw life, then it'll push forth and bring that little blade out through this hard, calloused flesh. The Bible says, and harden not the heart as they did in the provoking or the provocation in the wilderness where they tempted God 40 years. God, being upset with them, swear that they should not enter into his rest. So then water the little seed, work the little seed. Take the little seed of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, David said. Take this and work it. And after a while, You'll come forth, as Jesus said, the little seed of faith, as to a mustard seed, least. Been in Israel, I've looked at it. It's so tiny, you can't hardly see it. He said, but when it is grown up, it's the biggest among herbs. It is so big that birds can come and lodge in the branches. Or that is, you'll grow so great that angelic beings can lodge in your branches, and that you're likened to God's tree that's full of life. And so then, we don't have any victory just hearing the word. But the Bible said to be a doer thereof and not a forgetful hearer. So then if we water it, it'll take roots. And after a while, it'll grow up as to faith. And great and mighty things will happen in your life. All right, I've kept you just a little bit long. Not really long for the ministry. I was just a little late getting here. And I wanted to be a little late. I thought maybe David would call on Brother Chris to preach. I told him I'd like to hear him preach tonight. I let Brother John preach last night. My brother all go. And I thought maybe Brother Chris might minister tonight. But the Lord intended for me to say these few words to you. And folks, let me leave this thought with you. We're almost on the verge of the change. Now listen, when the change comes, that means that the natural people, as to the elders, will pass away. They'll pass away. Now, somebody said, well, elderly people die, Brother Pike. I know that, but statistics, they say, show that more younger people are dying because of their ruthlessness and reckless life. Now, but nevertheless, they'll pass away. That is to say, you will see the elders, as to those in the churches, become more and more, rather than a church of godly people. The Bible said they will be a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, which means devils and demons, and it'll be ball game players and all of these things. And let me close with a saying. When John saw the woman travailing in birth, remember, you're in heaven, trying to bring forth a child, a man child, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we say, that shall rule all nations, even with a rod of iron, as to the mind of Christ and the word of the Lord. When he saw this in heaven, he saw the dragon laying there at the mouth of the matron, waiting for the birth, so that he could devour the child just as quick as he was born. Remember, John laid the axe to the root of the tree. He cut down the old tree of knowledge that caused Eve to sin. That generation, all the way back, is the family tree. He cut it down to the garden. And then a new tree was planted as to the tree of life. And the beginning of the creation of God came into view as to the first brother among many brethren of whom ye are. So then, when the travail came, the child came forth. As to the headship first, that is to say Calvary, and that Jesus, which is the head of the church, was caught up. Because the travail of the woman is to the head of the child. No one can help her. But after the head of the child, then the physicians take over as to the angelic forces that can from the head, working with the members, bring forth from the matrix the entirety of the children. The last that comes forth, as it is said, it is the toes of the child. Or as is said concerning that in the natural, and a little stone hewed out of the mountain came rolling down through Babylon, smote the image in its feet, as to the end of the world. Take a long time to go into that, but we've got someone to take concern. Staying with our thought and closing out. Now, so then the red dragon was cast out of heaven. The expulsion came out of Calvary, out of hell. Satan is lightning fall from heaven. And I've destroyed him that hath power over death. And now I've given unto you all power of the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. For greater is he as the Holy Ghost within you than he is that is in the world. Now, remember this one thing closing. The child was born. It left that heaven, which was the second heaven, and it went up into the third heaven. Lucifer has never at any time been into the third heaven, because it would be defiled. And God would have to destroy it. Paul was called from the third heaven. God is in the third heaven. You that have been translated into the kingdom of God, as to your inner man, is in the third heaven. But the body, as in the grace, is in the second heaven. And Satan, as to the red dragon, that is the blood life, as that generation of vipers, is in the environment of this wonderful grace of God for the moment. But by Calvary, they've been cast out, and the expulsion has already come, and now it's to be made manifest. As you comprehend your healing as to Calvary, then your healing is made manifest in your body. When you comprehend your salvation as in Calvary, then it is made manifest in your soul. All right, so then given to us in Christ before the world ever was. The veil rent at Calvary was brought to light, preached to us there and down through the church ages. We've comprehended the heights, depth, width, and length of this great, wonderful mystery of salvation to come to the church age as to the change of the moment of the twinkling of an eye. Now, if the dragon is cast out, and he has been, but in that the people have not yet comprehended or witted the redemption of the body, then that means that he's still around. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he's among you. As to the flesh, he's still there. But in that he's been cast out, Calvary ended that generation of vipers. That was the end of him. And you and your generation being born now has a chance to learn, to believe, to comprehend and be part of it, as do the others that came down in their generation. The end of the world at Calvary, Peter said, you're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. Great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, caught up into glory. So then we see that with the casting out, then that means the man child went up, as to that enter one that's born again into the heavenly places. For God hath translated you right now into the marvelous kingdom of God. And now, beloved, are you the sons of God. Right now, you pass from death into life. Nothing can harm you. You'll never come into condemnation. So then if he's cast out, and the woman is caught, or the child is caught up to the third heaven, then the woman goes into the wilderness, which has to do with the Jews as to the 3.5 years during the tribulation period, because this has to do with the Jews as to the middle of the week, but also a spiritual thing in our day. Now, I said all of that to say this. The devil has been cast out. The woman goes into a wilderness. The child goes up to the third heaven. So what happens to the second heaven that you're in right now? The Bible said, and heaven passed away, and the earth passed away. And a third part of the stars fell from heaven. And Lucifer wrapped his tail around the third part of the stars and cast them down to the earth, which shows very clearly Calvary as to Jesus being made the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness as the dragon of blood life. And as the Jews, as we say Jew, and as we say Gentile, and as we say church, as to a third part. And out it went, out of the presence of God, and they've been through the Holocaust, been blinded in part, all these things. And a lot that we could say about it as to the deep mysteries of God. But just dropping in just a few little things. If he went out, that heaven was defiled. The child couldn't stay there. The woman couldn't stay there. And ye that are in heaven that are listening to me and looking at me, you are going to be cast out of heaven, because that heaven is going to be done away with. And you're going to be cast out. And what that means is that the very moment that the days of the Gentiles are over, as Lot that went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone, what that means is that when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, there'll be no more grace for you. There'll be no more light as to the understanding of the gospel and holy things. There'll be no more understanding as to medicine and anything that could give you comfort. And you will be in total darkness as to ignorance. All of the world wandering after the flesh, which is the beast, and after the serpent, for the Bible said God hath placed him upon his belly, and all of his labor is for his belly, and of the dust of the earth shall he eat. Which means all of the world is upon their belly, and David said, let their table be made a snare unto them, to eat and to drink and to be merry. In the last days they'll be eating and drinking and marrying and given into marriage. So then this is where you're at, and right now, the time of the expulsion is here. The revelation is going to reveal the end and judgment beginning at the house of God. Not the man speaking, but God speaking from within him. All the world keeps silent, for God is in his temple, whose temples ye are. The man that defileth him, God will destroy him. Satan setting that temple, the brightness of his coming, his little revelation will do away with that old mind of evil and bring in the mind of Christ, which is the life of God. Folks, changing the world. The same world that you live on will be changed into a glorious 1,000 years reign. And then after that, it'll be changed into the new earth. But the curse will be lifted even in the 1,000 years. So then we see, the Bible said, as to what manner of person we ought to be in all holy conversation, living holy and godly and hasting unto the coming of the Lord. Even so come, Lord Jesus, John said. So we see that we're almost down to the end of the days of the Gentiles. One more thing. And that is when the gays legislate As to their rights, then will come the fire and brimstone. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's pretty close by right now. This last paper, the publication of the gauge, they said, and what we want is rights with IRS. Climbing up into the upper lintel. We want to get into the church, they said. We don't want rights only, as that you cannot discriminate against us. Which rights they've already received. You can't discriminate against them anymore. You know, if they want to be dogs and live like dogs, you can't say anything about it or come against it or anything without getting in trouble. But you know, I'm going to say something about it anyway. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins. They come to church or in my presence. They delight in my laws, as to say, we are the children of God and we've kept thy ways. But he said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. I've spewed you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. Hi with the Iwaharako. Let's everybody stand together. I appreciate your presence. I appreciate your patience. You've done real good. You've not resented. You've not caused many problems. Out of the whole congregation, I only felt one thing, and it's right here. There's a girl right here that's been real frivolous in her spirit. And she'll have to reap a bad day for it. But she didn't resent and cause many problems. She's with a young man out there. But you received real good. Your patience as to the endurance of the heat, those kind of things, I feel for you. Not that I see where you've been through anything. I haven't been through anything. You haven't either. I don't see where this is going through anything. I think we'd start now and stay with God all night without any problem. I don't see any problem at all staying all night with him. That'd be a very simple thing. But because in your mind, you know, you've got this thing, I'll pass out, I'll have a heart attack. It's so hot, I can't stand this. My God, if you ever get out of here, never come back again. Let's give the Lord a hand. Because one thing about it, you're indoctrinated now. Indoctrinated now, there's something going to come forth in your life. Once the seed is planted, whether in the ground or in the womb, there has to be a life that'll come forth. So whatever it is, you know, twins come. Esau and Jacob, once you hear this, and God is justified in the day of judgment, the gospel to every creation, then the end. So then you've heard the gospel, not like we would have you to do it to where you could relax and everything be so, and we could shout and enjoy it and go on and worship God. But anyway, you heard. See, faith by the hearing, and you heard. Not that we don't care, for we've got two big air conditioners up there. The men have worked diligently, more fans setting out here, big, huge fans, to make it comfortable for you. But the Lord allows these things to happen that you might go by the way of Calvary. For the Bible said, every son that cometh unto God, he scourgeth him first. And if you're without chastisement, then are you bastards. For all that be of God are partakers of chastisement. And by sufferings we learn obedience. Then we're made perfect. So then here you are, you know, to suffer a little bit of heat. A little bit of heat. Not as bad as the ball games when you sit in the cold. Try to wrap up with a blanket and take your coffee with you. And holler for the dogs to go. Or the devils to go. Or the yeller jackets to go. You know, and sit there in your state of ignorance, watching that old body wallow around in the mud like a bunch of hogs. It's not that bad. It's just a little uncomfortable because the weather is of God. And he made it like that. I know the devil is the one that does all the problems. You know, he causes all the problems, does all those things. You know, that the Bible said in that day there won't be no heat to light on his people. Won't ever be cold again. No condemnation, no sickness. None of those things. All right, so we're going to take a minute or two to worship the Lord and a minute or two to give altar call. Last night, practically everybody came down to the altar, which I'm glad for that. Folks, this is camp meeting. Take a little time for God. I know a lot of you feel like you don't have any time for God. Some of you youth feel like you don't have any time for God. But remember, God doesn't have any time for you. It might be a wreck. It might be cancer. It might be AIDS, the cases now. You think science has taken away all the bad thing. But the report I got the other day over the world, I think they said there's 700,000 cases, supposedly, and that America's leading in the race. Somebody said, oh, them old bad folks. It said in the little babies, in Romania were dying with AIDS. What have they done, folks? The parents eat sour grapes. I would that my people would listen to me and heed my word and do what I tell them. For the Bible said if they would do that, that it would be well with them and their children all the days of their life. And said, if you honor me, I'll not bring upon you all those diseases of Egypt. I'll rebuke all the evil for your sake. I won't destroy the fruits of your ground. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you'll not be able to receive. And the Bible said, and your cup will run over, and your presses will burst out with a new wine. So then, we can see who we are and where we are, where we've been and where we're going. I trust that you are a son of God. I trust that you are. I trust that you are a child of God. Folks, it's sad days. Life is a few days and full of trouble, swifter than a shuttle, like a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanishes away. And in a little while, though you be young, yet you'll be in the grave and the worms will be eating you. Or you'll be passed on and you'll be in the lake of fire. And sons of God will rejoice and enjoy things throughout eternity. You'll never be hot again. You'll never be cold again. You'll never be hungry again. Never be miserable again. Never be sick again. All right. So then, God the Spirit is speaking to your angelic man on the inside, asking you to put a harness or bridle on the side of man, that he may beautify the meek with salvation and make you a great and mighty person in youth, in power, in elegance, in greatness, having the tranquility of God throughout eternity. That's his desire. I would above all things in his threefold blessing that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. So tonight, I appreciate you giving your kind attention to God. And to remember, this is camp meeting. Let's take a little longer, because if you give just a little time to God, he may do as he did the man in the Bible. He may do the same thing to you. He may grant you 15 more years. If you take away a moment from God, if you can't bear with God a little bit, he may take 15 years off of your life. He may shorten your days by your disobedience. So then, even as the youth, they're dying by the thousands. They don't have time for God. They have time all night long. They go like an animal in the night, in the morning. Somebody says, I just can't stay there all night long with this thing called God. But these youth stay all night long. All night long they prowl and they roam like creatures of darkness with their abaseness as to the subtleness of Satan and the corruption of their flesh. A sinful and an adulterous generation upon whom God rained fire and brimstone. So I say to the youth, come out of it. Come out of it. Come out of it. Now's your time. Now's your day. Come out of it. Leave the wild hallucinations as hallucinating and going out by means of dope and come into the reality. For that's only a type. Come into the reality and have visions, have dreams, and have the word of God, and have the revelation, and see the reality of this thing, and not burn your brain out, and wreck your body, and use up your virtues, and lose your soul while you're doing those things. All right, let's sing together. God bless you. You've been very precious. Sing together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. Can you sing that with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. It may sleep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus
I am saved evermore. I need thee, Lord. I need thee.
Can you sing that with me?
For every hour, I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. For oh, how I need.
Sing this with me now.
So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice saying, don't turn him away.
Don't you love the Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? How wonderful he is. We sang this little chorus. We're going to sing it tonight. Jesus. Now we sing this little song. He's wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor and the Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name.
Now listen tonight, folks. I said last night, as the eagle reneweth his strength, and we wait upon the Lord. And God does all these wonderful things for us that we should renew our youth. Don't settle down and say, oh, I'm so tired. And, oh, my God, I've used up my strength, you know. Moses, 80 days without food, came down in victory.
See, and don't sit back there like that.
Come forth in the Lord. Spread your wings for flight. Mount up like eagles. Can you do that? See, and let's enjoy the Lord tonight. And let's worship the Lord. Oh, you say, but I'm tired, Brother Pike. I'm so weary. I know. I said last night, and I say, as tonight, this morning, I got up off of my knees at 5 o'clock this morning. So I could be a little weary. I could be a little tired.
But glory to God, I feel good.
I've been waiting on God. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Come on, folks. The Bible said renew your youth in God. Renew your strength in God. Don't just sit there like you're tired because of a little heat. My God, where is your strength? Where is your God? Where is that God promised you? Let's worship God tonight. Let's give him a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo, I feel good. Now you'll upset the devil because he's already saying, let's get out of here. It's hot in here, but I think it's nice and cool and refreshing.
Oh, I feel good. I feel good. I feel good.
So we're going to sing this little song, Brother Taylor.
They that wait
upon the Lord, sing it with me now, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to the way. Sing out with me now. For they that wait upon my Lord, they'll renew their strength. They shall mount up. Oh, hallelujah, with wings. I feel him now. And as Peter spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. I can feel the Holy Ghost falling because you've pressed against the resistance. You've lifted up your hearts in faith. I can feel the Holy Ghost. That's that strength. Renewing the strength now. Teach, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Sing that again. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk but never faint. Don't be afraid you'll faint because of the heat. Don't be afraid of that. One more time. For they that wait. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord? Don't you feel that renewal of your strength? Oh, Brother Moses acted about 40 days. Shook himself. Got a new strength. Thought it for another 40. Hallelujah. 40 years down in Egypt. Renewed his strength. Picked up another 40 years out in the wilderness. Renewed his strength and picked up another 40 years to preach to God's people. And when he got through, the Bible said the natural sources of his body wasn't abated. His eyes had not waxed dim. He just spread his wings and flew away to glory and appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Death couldn't hold him. When death came to get Moses, the Lord stepped up and the angel said, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan. And the body just went away with God when they had the dispute of that body. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. Folks, you pass from death into life. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory. Ladies, say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you sing it one more time with me? I thought you was tired. I thought you was tired. Who was tired? My, I thought you was tired and couldn't stand any longer and had to hurry and go home. Who feels tired? Let's sing one more time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. They shall run and not be weary, for they shall walk but never faint. Teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, just to wait. Isn't it wonderful? You know, there's a little song we sing like this. I sang this song the other night. We sing that song, the greatest honor on this earth, and that's enough for me. You remember us singing that the other night? I know that I'm a child, the sun set free. We're the children that God has saved. Folks, we're eternal. Glory to God, I could dance like a wild man. I mean, I feel it on the inside. Hallelujah. And here, all in my feet, all in my arms, and I could just dance enough. Hallelujah. I feel that same anointing. This is the anointing. I feel that same freedom, that same liberty where God is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible said they leap for joy. I can tell that's inside of Chris when he leaped for joy. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory. That wonderful, wonderful way of God. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing together. Can we sing together? We're going to sing this little chorus, I love him, can we? Now, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm not going to hold you long now, but we want to praise the Lord just for a few minutes. Okay. Do you really love him? Do you really love him? Do you really love him? Come on now. Do you really love him? I can tell you do. I can tell this is pouring out of your heart. I can tell this pouring out of your heart. I can tell. That's real worship, folks. That's real worship. That's not make-believe. I can still feel the Holy Ghost falling on you, as Peter said. I can still feel him still falling. Don't you feel it? That's that rapture. That's that translation. Catching that inner man up into glory. Dwelling in heaven. Rejoicing. Nothing can hurt you. God has made you perfect forever. Wrote your names down in the Lamb Book of Life. Do the saints of God. So I love him. Oh, I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me and he chose my on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book is mine. Give him a wave offering. Every chapter, every verse, every line. So we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing it again with me now. Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Chapter, every verse, and every line. So we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in this book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every line. So we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book. You love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah. And I thank thee for the valley I walk through today. For the darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found thee with the lilies there blooming by. Though I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Sing it with me now. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every morning night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. Bar the valleys I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine. sunshine, all the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, Babylon dry. Life can be all blessings, how there'd be no need to pray. Oh, I thank thee for the valleys I walk through. One more time. Thank thee for every life of mine, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every night I prayed till I knew that everything's alright. And I thank thee for the valleys I walk through. Where will you be a million years from now? Can you worship the Lord? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll? I ask this question, where will be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million. Where will you be? Sing with me now. Where will you be? Will you be singing? Will you be happy while the ages roll out eternity? I ask this question. Do you love the Lord? Jesus is good. Let's sing one or two more choruses. I'm hoarse tonight, but it doesn't make any difference. Let's sing one or two more choruses, and then we're going to let you go. To worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's sing the little chorus, "The Stone Is Rolled Away." Can you give me a key? How many of you are glad you come tonight? How do you believe the message? Believe the message? Somebody say, "I'm in the message." That's good, because I'd rather you be in the message. I don't want you to be in the mess. Age. So we're in the message. You know, somebody said, "I'll give you a mess of this and a mess of this." And sometimes it's ham. Sometimes it's cake, sometimes it's pie. And somebody says, "You made a mess," like the baby, and that's not cake and pie. That's the results of cake and pie. You love the Lord? All right. So then the stone is gone away. The Bible said, "And God will take out the heart of stone, place within you the heart of flesh. Write the laws upon the table of your heart, and the love of God will constrain you, that you might walk in his way." You know what the heart of flesh is? The stony heart is your heart. But the heart of flesh is his heart. To let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus, that dove-like nature. Give me a key. Fan the sparks now. Don't let the fire go out. The Bible said concerning that fire, the priest had to keep it burning day and night. It could never go out. Never go out. When you're sleeping, somebody's praying. When I'm sleeping, somebody's praying. God got somewhere everywhere. Never does that fire go out. You love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Gone. And the storm is rolled back. Gone. For the tomb is empty. Gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, but that triumph is gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And He lives forevermore. Once again now. Oh, He's gone. That storm is rolled back, gone. And the tomb, to sit at my Father's side. For He's gone. All the death triumphed. Gone. Sin is defeated. Gone. And He lives forevermore. I sing this little chorus. And He was here all the time. Sing it with me now. And He was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. My Lord was here all the time. Sing it one more time now. Jesus was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time, and He touched me things happen, and now I know that Jesus touched me and He made me. Once again now, and so He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Let's worship the Lord. And oh, the that floods my soul. One thing happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me. And He healed. Let's lift our hands up. Sing together now. Sing together. End time shall be no more, no more. End time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and I shall be no more. Our time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. Remember Calvary and the other people upon whom the end of the world have come. Revelation 10 and 7, when the mystery of God has been finished, then shall the end come. You're getting close to home, folks. Much closer. Much closer. Much closer than you can ever imagine. And when the time has fully come, the Bible said in 430 years had passed, and God raised up a deliverer, and then came forth the deliverer, and God's people was delivered. You know, he was here all the time. The precious Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, as of the Gentile people, have been standing here all the time, waiting for his turn, waiting for his chance. You've done all kind of things, but he kept patiently waiting. Now it's his day. Now it's his time. Now it's his chance. And the deliverer has come. And now's the hour when God will deliver his people from bondage. You're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And we sing this little chorus. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Oh, if we could let go. Oh, if we could just submit. Oh, if we just worship the Lord in spirit. Forget about the flesh. Forget about stumbling. Forget about staggering. Forget about tomorrow. Forget about business. Forget about money. Forget about appearance. Forget about all of the prestige of the world. And remember, God is the Spirit. He's looking at your spirit. Your mind. You're serving with your mind and spirit. And let your spirits go out to God. And Paul said, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. As Brother Branham said, laid on the bed. And the spirit of Brother Branham went up into the heavens. And Paul said, there in the heavens, there in the heavens, rejoice ye that are in the heaven, for you're not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh. And since Calvary, the veil has been rent in twain, and you're the that dwell in heaven. And there's no sin to you, for God has sealed your spirit by the Holy Spirit, and the body of that sin is now gone. The image of the bastard child has been taken away, and you're now born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And God sees you as his precious, darling children. No spots, no blemish. A church already now for him to come for. Because you believe that he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And sanctified you once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. And the message has come. And deliverance is here. And so Enoch by faith was translated that he should not see death. And away he went. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and believe that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Can you trust in him as Jacob? As Jacob, when the mother said, Jacob, God has loved you. Jacob, God has loved you. Can you believe it when the voice of God comes to the minister? As the church is to the mother saying, God has loved you, children. You're his precious children, having done no good or evil. He saved you while you were yet in your sins. As to this world, you say no good or evil, but I was in my sins, Brother Pike. But the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good, then it becomes evil if he doesn't do good. So as a little babe, before you ever come to know good and evil, God saved you. He had written your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're God's precious children. Can you, now that the message has come forth, accept that? Do you believe you are a daughter of the Lord or a son of God? Do you believe that? Can you accept that? If you can't, you can't be his child. But if you can, You can be his child. Someone would say, what does it take to accept that, Brother Pike? Walking in his way, doing those things that please him. Hereby we assure our heart. Then do we have confidence, knowing that we're trying. In spite of all of our stumbling, he reaches down as a father or mother to a little child to take us by the hand to lift us up. You're not out yonder with the women that are corrupting themselves and taking dope and drinking. You're not out there with the boys and the men that are corrupting yourself to the world and losing virtues. You're in God's house. You're doing all that you know. Though you stumble and stagger, a good man will fall 7 times. He'll get back up. Why does he get back up? Somebody says so he can get his sin out of his life. What sin has he got to get out of his life? It said a good man, not a sinful man. The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. For he that sinneth is of the devil. You're not a sinner. You are a good man. You are a good woman. And there's none good but God, and you're the body of God, even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Good by his goodness. So then ye are the perfect ones. Let's therefore love him as the perfect ones. Let's have an unwiltering and unbroken faith. Let's worship him with all of our heart. You love Jesus? If you love Jesus, then sing with me. And I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Can you sing that with me? And I'll give him glory, God he paid. For his blood has washed away every stain. Once more now. And I will pray. Now tell me, we sing that song, are you ready for the bridegroom to come? The Lamb for sinners slain. Let us kneel. Remember, Christ is on his way now. Remember, he's on his way now. He's living in the hearts of them that love him. I've espoused you to one, Paul said, to present you as a chaste virgin to God. Body, soul, and spirit, blameless. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Sing with me now. Be it morning, midnight, I'm all resting spots, and I'm ready for the bride. Sing it now. For I'm ready for the bride. Oh, I'm ready for the bride. Jesus is waiting. Can you lift up your hands and heart to it? Can you say, Jesus? Oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I'm exclusively yours, Jesus. I'm exclusively yours. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for that bride. One more time together now. Oh, we're ready for that bride.